Some believers never run life's race. They sit by the side of the road, feeling left out of what God had for them. This is a mistake. Being morose is no fun. Our attitude makes a big difference, and it's something we can change. The book of Joshua teaches us to get up and get going. There is a future, and there is a hope. Today, more lessons from a place called Gilgal. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. We're in a series on getting started right, lessons from the life of Joshua. Join us in Joshua chapter 5 as Dr. Lutzer speaks on Let's Get Ready for Battle.
This is from my heart to your heart. I want you to know today that God did not save you so that you could spend years and years of a boring life in a spiritual wilderness. That's not why you were converted. It was to bring you into the land to enjoy God. And that's why the scripture says that we might know the length and the breadth and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with the fullness of God. That's why we were saved, not to stay in the wilderness, but to get into the land of Canaan. We sometimes sing, "My father is rich with houses and lands. He holds the wealth of the world in his hands. Of rubies, of diamonds, of silver and gold, his coffers are filled. He has riches untold. I'm a child of the King, a child of the King, with Jesus my Savior. I'm a child of the King." Gilgal was a place of remembrance. It was a place of renewed obedience to God. And it was also a place of realization of what a dramatic story follows. It says in verse 13 of chapter 5, "Now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua went up to him and asked, 'Are you for us or for our enemies?' Neither, he replied, 'but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come.' Then Joshua fell face down to the ground in reverence and asked, 'What message does my Lord have for his servant?' The commander of the Lord's army replied, 'Take off your sandals, for the place you are standing is holy.' And Joshua did so." First of all, Joshua is taking a reconnaissance trip around Jericho, trying to scope it out. He goes around Jericho, and suddenly he's confronted with a man. "Are you for us? Are you an Israelite who's broken curfew? Or are you an enemy? If so, I'll take you on." And notice what the man says: "Neither, neither." Oh, this is exciting. He says, "I've come as the captain of the host of the Lord, the commander of the armies of the Lord." Wherever you have the angel of the Lord referred to in the scripture, you always have a reference to Christ in the Old Testament. That can be shown. There's no question but that this is a pre-incarnate, big words, but you can follow them, pre-incarnate manifestation of Christ. Before Bethlehem, this is Jesus taking on human form. That's why Joshua was asked to worship. He would not do that before a man. He would not do that before an angel. He did it before Christ. And Christ said, "I am commander of the armies of the Lord." Wow. Two important lessons for Joshua. Number one, Joshua, this isn't just a physical battle. This is a spiritual battle. Very spiritual. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elijah is sitting there with his servant, and the Assyrian armies are coming against Elijah. And the king of Assyria is so mad at Elijah, for reasons I won't go into, he says, "I want to get that man." And the whole army comes, and the horizon is filled with Syrian troops. The servant is terrified. He's just really scared there because he figures that they're just going to be wiped out in just a matter of time. I mean, it's like a whole aircraft carrier going after a fly. I mean, this is just no contest. So the prophet says to the Lord, he says, "Lord, open this guy's eyes." And he opened his eyes and noticed that the whole horizon was filled with flaming chariots surrounding Elijah. And Elijah said, you know, there are more on our side than there are on theirs. And God smote the Syrian army with blindness, and Joshua and the servant escaped. I want you to know today that if we could see the spiritual world, we discover that it is populated with all kinds of spirits. Good angels, yes, but also evil spirits. But in the midst of that, this is the commander of the armies of the Lord. I love it. God is saying, Joshua, it's a spiritual battle. It isn't simply a matter of strategy. It's a matter of walking with God. Your battles, my friend, are not just physical battles. It isn't just a personality conflict. It's that, but it isn't just that, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. And the rejoicing is that we stand with Christ, who is the commander of the armies of the Lord. Joshua, this is a spiritual battle. You have to understand that the Israelites didn't really have any staves or any swords to speak of. They didn't have iron like the Canaanites. They did not have armies. They didn't have walled cities. They were living in tents. I mean, what a disjointed way to try to win a battle. But God says, look, I am the commander of the armies of the Lord. And I say that to you today who are in situations for which there is no human solution available nor in sight. Put your finger on the text. Christ is the commander of God's armies. It is a spiritual battle. Also, it is a spiritual character is going to be important here. It's going to be Joshua worshiping. Take the shoes from off your feet. This is holy ground. I love the answer that Jesus gave to Joshua. Joshua says, are you for us or are you for our enemies? And he said, neither. That was for emphasis. Just hang on. Hang on. God is speaking here. He says, I have not come to take sides. I have come to take over. I am God. The issue isn't enemy or friend. The issue is you bow before me in submission. And take off your shoes, because this is holy ground. Same words that were given to Moses at the burning bush. Take the shoes from off your feet, for the ground whereupon you are standing is holy ground. It's not a matter of sides. It's a matter of sovereignty. It's a matter of worship. It's a matter of submission. It's a matter of that death that we spoke about just a moment ago. And once they get into the land, what does it say? It says, the Lord will choose my inheritance for me. I'm anticipating a little bit. But you know, when the tribes get into the land, there are all kinds of squabbles as to where the boundaries should be. Some people say, well, I want this land because it's better land. God says, no, the boundary's to be here. And Joshua had to draw some lots. And always, you know, those squabbles take place. And I want you to know today, blessed are those who are content who say, the Lord will choose my lot, and where I am put in the land, with that I am content. Because I'm content with whatever God is content with, and I submit to the armies of the Lord, the captain. Now, what is it in your heart today that is keeping you in the desert? Is it unbelief? Have you lost God? Is it a mentality of slavery that says, I've been a slave so long and I'm never going to be anything for God, and therefore all that I can do is to shrivel up in my own little soul? Is that what it is? Oh, my dear friend, today, have your reproach rolled away. Remember the faithfulness of God. Have renewed obedience to God. Renewed worship to God as He reveals Himself to you, and you will be strong in the Lord, and God will say, and even your enemies, the devil is going to tremble, and the fear of the people will be upon him because of their holiness and godliness and commitment to the Lord. In a moment, we're going to be singing a hymn that many of us are acquainted with. was written by Robert Robinson way back in 1735. He was actually born in 1735, I should say, and wrote the hymn in 1758. Robert Robinson was an interesting person because someone said of him he was a good person, but as unstable as water. Have you met somebody like that? You know, he's basically good, it's just that he's as unstable as water. He came to saving faith in Christ, listened to Whitfield preach, in fact, and had his heart changed, and wrote those wonderful words, "Come, thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise." But there's another stanza in the hymn, if you'd give it to me there, Jerry, just a moment, where he talks about the wandering. "Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, O take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." Now, after he wrote this wonderful hymn, he backslid. He went into the wilderness. He went into the world. And one day, a woman who was riding a stagecoach saw his worldly ways and gave him this poem and said, "This has really blessed my heart. I think you need it too." And he said to her, "I am the unhappy person who wrote these words. I would give 1,000 worlds to have my joy back." Well, I hope he had his joy back. "Oh, to grace how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be." I speak to those of you on the fringes who've got all kinds of hang-ups as to why you're not walking with God. Come back. Let God roll all the disgrace and the shame and the wasted years away. "Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Oh, here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above." That's my prayer today. Is it yours?
Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I suppose it is true to say that most people who leave their faith behind in one way or another, Christians who backslide, they do it because of some incident in their life that has brought shame, that has brought discouragement, that has brought a sense of hopelessness. And what this message that you've just heard is designed to do is to encourage you and to say, keep going, throw away the reproach. Keep moving in the direction of Canaan. Jesus is inviting you to take a step further, to come with him, to be restored to him, and to make sure that you live without those terrible regrets, because once time has passed, we can never have it back. God bless you today, my friend. Keep going.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer, wrapping up, Let's Get Ready for Battle, the second message in his series, Getting Started Right, Lessons from the Life of Joshua. Tomorrow, the famous story of the walls of Jericho. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. Getting Started Right can be yours as a 6-message CD series. The series is our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. Join us for tomorrow's Running to Win.